Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Okay, let's get into our Bible lesson this morning. So all this month we've been studying on healing. And again, when God led me to do this, I didn't know there was going to be a flu outbreak even in the nation. Apparently the flu vaccine is not even working the way it's supposed to, and people are losing their lives. So pay close attention. This is your vaccine. Yeah, vaccinate yourself with the word of God.
Amen.
You see, God is interested in our health, so it's so important. Hey, let's pay attention this morning. So I will cover some things that we covered, some high spots that we covered in the last 2 weeks, and then we'll go a step further. Okay, seven most important things we must know when it comes to healing. The first thing is, and we talked about this in the first lesson, it is God's will to heal you and keep you healthy because it is in the plan of redemption. Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. Thank you, Lord. Healing is in the plan of redemption. That's the first place to start. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, notice the phrase, we are healed. Know that it is God's will to heal you because it is in the plan of redemption. Verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So, and then he says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. So we see him tackling the sin problem at the same time that he tackled the healing issue. And in the Hebrew, right there where he says he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, is literally he carried our pains and sicknesses. So when in Matthew chapter 8 verse 17, and when Matthew was quoting Isaiah, he freely translated it as sicknesses. Notice Matthew chapter 8 verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Oh, be sensitive. This is so important. He says, this is when Jesus was ministering. Verse 16 says, and when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, notice, he himself took, so he's quoting Isaiah 53, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Who took it? Jesus did. He's taking our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He's taking our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Thank you, Lord. And then, looking at it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, get these scriptures, mark them in your Bible. Whatever you have to do to them, do to them. Because it's so important. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. He says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. So now he puts your healing in the past tense. You see, if you were going to minister to somebody who wasn't saved, you wouldn't question, you wouldn't question whether it's the will of God for them to be saved or not. So the question becomes, he said that we bore our sins in his own body on the tree. In the same way, from God's standpoint, the sin issue has been settled. The sinner has to receive the word of God and believe in it, and then they will be saved. So why is everybody not saved? Well, the thing is, it's either they haven't heard it or they heard it and turned it down. Two things. And so the same thing for healing. The healing is been purchased for everyone. From God's standpoint, it is done. Why is everybody not healed? That's why we focused on the hearing part last week. It's so important. Hear and be healed. When you hear the word of God, you believe it, and not only hear it when you are sick, but continually feed on those scriptures to stay healthy. By whose stripes you were healed. Settle that fact that it is God's will to heal you. It is in the plan of redemption. It is in the plan of redemption. Thank you, Lord. Number two, note that it's God's will to be healed because sickness comes from Satan and not from God. I keep going over these things because these things are so important. It comes from Satan, not from God. And the scriptures along those lines are Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't come from God. Acts 10, 38. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who was the oppressor? The devil was the oppressor. Who was the healer?
Jesus.
Oh, he's saying healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He went about doing good. So healing is good. Doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Settle that fact. Settle that fact. In the Garden of Eden, when God created man, there was no sickness there. So they sinned and fell away from God. They were healthy and strong. It comes from Satan, not from God. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Anchor your faith on these scriptures in this season when there is a plague around. He says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Who bound the woman? Satan is the one that bound the woman. Jesus is the one that made her free. Recognize that fact. It will help you in your reaction when the enemy tries to put sickness on you. You will stand your ground. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He says, he who sins is of the devil, because for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed. That is one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 10, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, the thief, referring to Satan also, does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness steals. Anything that steals from us is the enemy stealing from us. It steals from us time. Sometimes people have to take care of other people. It steals money. He's saying that I have come instead for you to have a life. That word life there is Zoe, the very life of God. Oh, that life is in us, that it may overflow into our bodies and keep it strong and keep it healthy.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Just last week when I finished ministry, someone came up and he said, their dad died, or somebody had died from dementia, and they weren't sure. At some point they stepped out of relationship with God, and they weren't sure if God was teaching them a lesson by putting sickness on them. I said, no. Sickness doesn't come from God. God doesn't teach his children with sickness and disease. annoyed. No responsible parent, no matter what their child has done, will take their hand and put it in fire and say, I'm punishing you with that. No. That's not how God teaches us. He teaches us with his word. Sickness comes from Satan, the enemy himself. So when you realize that, you get to the point where you say, this life that I have in me, the very nature of God, the very life of God that I have in me, doesn't have sickness in it. No, I refuse and tolerate it in my life. Satan, take your hands off of God's property. Thank you, Lord. Number three, recognize that God dealt with sickness in the Old Testament as well as in the New. And then we saw that in our first lesson. Let's go back there again. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Exodus 23:25. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, Exodus 23:25. He says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be buried in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. And then elsewhere in Exodus, he talks about the fact that I am the Lord your healer. I will not permit none of the diseases of Egypt to come upon you. The Hebrew literally says, I am the Lord your physician. You shall serve the Lord your God. Get committed to God. Serve him. If they did that in the old covenant and they had this, he promised to take sickness away from them. And he promised that as well, that they will fulfill the number of their days, and the none will be barren or suffer miscarriage in their land. This was in the old covenant. Now, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, he talks about the fact that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So if they had that, potentially they could live in the Old Testament and without sickness or disease, and then they just die. If someone would say, how would you die if you are not sick? You don't have to be sick to die. Remember Jacob, when he got ready to go, he just called his sons, blessed them, and the Bible says he got on the bed, folded up his leg, and then he departed. He left. Oh, I don't have time to get into it. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, going down, Paul says, I am in a strait between two, whether to depart or to stay. I have a choice here. It means he has something to do with it. But later on he said, when I stay here, it's for your benefit. So you don't have to be sick to that. That was the point. But the key here is, he says we have a better covenant established on better promises. Now, if you had a job, and it was paying a certain amount, and you got it, and all the benefits that come with it. Let's take, for instance, a very high amount. You have a $4 million a month job. You have all the benefits. You have a company car. You have, they're giving you a place to sleep, and then you come home, and you say, I have a better job, and they ask you, how much is this job paying? And you say it's paying minimum wage. So let's take it for instance. And the question is, I thought you said you had a better job. So if he's saying that we have a better covenant established on better promises than what they had potentially in the old covenant, we have something better in the new covenant.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
We have something better in the new covenant. Jesus even had not yet come and gone to the cross and paid the penalty for our sins and paid the penalty for our sickness. And better, so recognize that sickness is dealt with in the new covenant as well. And what we have in the New Testament is better than what they had in the old. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then, Also, number four, recognize. I'm just giving us, I mean, the most important thing that we have to know. So we cannot walk in what God has at all of these points. Can take a long time for us to be on, but we want to get the high spot. Recognize when God initiates healing, the difference between when God initiates healing and when man goes to God in faith to receive healing. Let's turn to John chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. We'll see a very important lesson there. John chapter 5. I'm taking my time because this is so important. Thank you, Lord. You answered a lot of questions for us this morning. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 5, he says from verse 1. After there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Notice, this is a key point here. There's a multitude around the water. At a certain time, an angel comes and stirs up the water. Whoever first steps in gets healed. That's a manifestation of God. If God chooses to do that, he can do it. He's God. But notice that Jesus, there's a multitude there. Jesus goes to the pool and goes specifically to this man and asks him a question. Do you want to be made well? The man still has his eye on the pool and the angel. he's been in that condition for 38 years. Jesus is standing before him with power to heal him, asking him a simple question. So many times we go all around the world, but instead of being specific, "Would you want to be made well?" I would have said yes. I desperately want to be made well. He is saying, when the water is dead, somebody steps ahead of me. Your answer is right there, brother. Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately, he was made whole. Notice that when Jesus left that place, a multitude was still lying there, waiting for the angel. On that occasion, that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And notice, the answer is in verse 19, when they confronted him about it. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So the Father showed him what to do specifically in that instant. That is a combination of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, as outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, the descending of Spirit, he sees into the spirit realm, sees what God is doing, he goes out and acts it out, and then the gifts of healings also go into operation to make that man whole. Not only out of the multitude lying there, only this man got healed. So that is God initiating it on his own. You see, but there is the other side also, where man goes to God in faith based on what God has said and received. And if you read the Gospels, there are 19 specific cases where an individual is mentioned, not counting where multitudes were healed all at once at the same time. There are 19 specific cases. And out of the 19 specific cases, 12 were healed when the 12 of those cases, faith is mentioned in those cases. You see, when you read the Gospels, you think there are more, but actually there are 19 specific cases where individuals were healed. And out of the 12, so faith is mentioned there. So that must tell us something. That's why, again, we focused on the hearing part last week. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, she heard about Jesus. And then she took some steps to go and receive her healing. And when they all said and done, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. That statement is repeated several times in the Gospels. Your faith has made you whole. Last week we looked at a man who was crippled and paralyzed and carried by four into the presence of Jesus. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole when he saw their faith. You see, so many times, that's what gets us as well. We sit down and wait for some people who say, if it's the will of God, he's going to heal me. Oh, the majority of times that God is waiting for us, go to his word, receive his word, believe it, and act on it, and receive from him. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That should tell us something. According to your faith, let it be unto you. So recognize when God initiates healing and when man on his own by faith goes and believes the word of God and receives healing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then number 5, recognize this also, that healing is not always instant. Healing is not always instant. Even in the ministry of Jesus, we see that as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 4, verse 46. Let's do this and say something very important there. John chapter 4, verse 46. John 4, 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour, notice, when he got better. And he said to them, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself believed and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Thank you, Lord. Notice, I mean, the man comes to Jesus and he's asking a question. He comes to Jesus looking for healing for his son. He says, come, before my child died. Jesus said, except you see, you will not believe. So many times we want to see before we believe. Jesus is trying to teach him a lesson here. Oh, and it's a very important lesson that all of us have to learn. The Amplified puts it this way, in verse 52, he says, so he asked them again, them at the time when he began to get better. 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 So that means the fever left him, and the root cause of this is removed, and then he began to recover from then on. But this is the second miracle that Jesus Christ did. This is the second miracle that Jesus Christ did. So it was the first healing miracle. And even that, it did not happen instantly. But yesterday we were talking about this, and we said that we will look through the Bible. Everyone that Jesus reached out to, it didn't go beyond the day. We couldn't find any instance where it went, because the thing is, when I like to teach it, where we get it, we believe now and receive it now. I like it that way. I like it. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes the root cause is removed, and then the eventually people recover. Notice he says, your son lives. That's a faith proposition as well. He's not saying your son is going to get well. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Your son lives. That's what causes it to work. Your son lives. Present tense. The son is at home at the point of death, but Jesus is saying, your son lives. As soon as he released the word, the man said, the man believed the word without seeing any evidence that the child was living, without seeing any evidence that the child was well, and then he turned back on his way to go home. And when he got there, he realized that the miracle had happened. That's a lesson that God teaches us. Believe that you receive your healing, even when you haven't seen anything yet. That's when it manifests in the natural. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And another instance as well, the blind man who came to Jesus, or the leprous people that came to Jesus, in Luke chapter 17, verse 14, Luke chapter 17, verse 14. This is so important. These things are very important. Luke chapter 17, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. That's another instance as well. He says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And notice, and so it was as they went, they were cleansed. These were 10 lepers that came to Jesus looking for healing as well. They are in the presence of Jesus, but their healing didn't happen instantly right there. As they went, so many times we haven't received because we haven't went. It's not good English, but you get the sense. You only go and show yourself. Again, that's a faith proposition. You only go and show yourself to the priest according to the law when you have already been healed. So from his standpoint, it is already time. Go and show yourself to the priest. Go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. The manifestation came as when they obeyed the word of Jesus and started heading towards the priest. Thank you, Lord. So I get that fact. It's not always instant. Sometimes there's a process to it. But the key here is God wants to heal you. I remember when our first child was born, his leg was bow-legged. And the doctor said they have to do surgery on him to fix it. We said, no, we won't take that report. We prayed over him, believing that we receive that his legs will be made straight. And from our perspective, it was done. We learned to act like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We totally forgot about it. And so one day we were coming from church, and we were like, look at this, from wherever we're coming from, look at his legs. His legs have been made straight. His legs have been made straight. We didn't even know when it happened.
Praise
God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Refuse to consider the contrary circumstances in your body. Your body may be screaming with pain. Your body may be screaming otherwise and telling you, oh, that you are not healed. But stand on the word of God and say, by his stripes I were healed. That's what causes it to work. There was a certain woman, she was at the point of death. Their lungs were completely almost gone. At the point of death, when she heard the word of God, oh, they said for 3 days, somewhere in Texas, for 3 days and nights, she sat up praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I am healed. Thank you, by your stripes, I am healed. Oh, she continued praising the Lord. And on the third day, all of a sudden, she came out of it and was completely made whole. To the glory of God. What should we have stopped the first day? Thank you, Lord. 3 days, she stayed there. Stay there. I refuse anything that doesn't line up with the word of God. And sooner or later, it will show up in your body. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. And then also recognize that there are several methods. You see, God desperately, I can see his heart. He desperately wanted us to be healed. There are several methods, about seven of them if you count them, whereby healing can be received. Whereby healing can be received. You can pray the prayer of faith. You can be anointed with oil. You can go to the communion table. So many ways. Because the truth of the matter is, not everyone is at the same level from a spiritual standpoint when it comes to faith. So he gives us so many ways. We don't have time to get into all of them, but recognize that there are several methods to receive healing. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And then, number seven, recognize also that God's method of healing us is spiritual. God's method of healing us is spiritual. And it can be lost as well. Some people get healed and they lose it. In Revelation, he told one of the churches that he was writing to, that hold fast to that which you have. Hold fast to that which you have. Hold fast to your health. Hold fast to your healing. Hold fast to it so you don't lose it. But you see, I mean, in the natural, God has put certain things in our body to try to recover itself. When something cuts your finger or any part of your body, there's a reaction naturally that God puts in there to try to recover the body. And the medical science has discovered some chemicals that work better to try to help, and as they call it, assisting the natural process. Thank you. But when we are talking about God healing us, we are talking about God sending his word, God taking the sickness away by himself and removing it away from us. It's not like the metaphysical science teach the unity and all this. They say they heal through the mind. No, that's different. That's different. But God is talking about healing us through his word, through our spirits. Thank you, Lord. And then also recognize that it's a remarkable fact that when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he demands faith. Because so many times he was repeating, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. You see, the greatest forces in life are spiritual. Love and hate are spiritual. They are not natural forces. They are spiritual forces at work here. But when he comes on the scene, he demands faith. He demands faith. He demands faith. Thank you, Lord. And so he heals us. So that's why we have to take these statements very important. Notice what he says in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. Mark 9, 23. This was the man that brought his son to be healed. He was demon-possessed and oppressed by the enemy. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. How many things are possible to him that believes?
Oh.
How many things are possible to him who believes?
Oh.
That means that the things in your life that you thought were impossible are not impossible. You see, he came to Jesus. He said, your disciples have tried this thing. They've done their best. They couldn't do it. If you can do anything, help me. Jesus answered. Another translation said, if I can do anything, and they put an exclamation mark on it. If I can do anything, he switches the responsibility back to the man. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. With God, all things are possible. In the mighty name of Jesus, the circumstances of your life that seem impossible, it may be sickness, it may be healing that you need in another area of your life, oh, God is saying to you this morning, all things are possible to him who believes. With God, all things are possible. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Close your eyes this morning. I'm not done yet, but say this. Say it to yourselves and say it aloud. All things
are possible.
To him. Who believes? Say it from the bottom of your heart. All things are possible.
To him.
Who believes? Glory be to the name of the Lord. It registers on you better when you do that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
So how do I receive all that we are talking about here? Oh, recognize that. Recognize your redemption, the value of your redemption. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and all the plagues kept coming down, all the children of Israel were exempt from the plagues. When darkness came in the land of Egypt, in Goshen there was light. Or when the firstborn of the children of Egypt died, the firstborn of the children of Israel stayed alive. They were exempt. When there was darkness, there was light. Oh, there may be a plague going around. Oh, but take this psalm, Psalm 91 verse 10, and say it to yourself. He said, there shall no plague come near your dwelling.
Amen.
Oh, the plague may be going around, but as for me and my house, no plague comes near our dwelling.
Amen.
Our case is different. We are children of the Most High God.
Amen.
Jesus has paid an awesome price for us. There may be a noisome pestilence going on in the land, but as for me and my house, we are exempt.
Amen.
Carry yourself with that exemption mentality. The price has already been paid, and you are free. When the children of, after the firstborn of Pharaoh died, the Pharaoh kept following them and pursuing them. But when they got to the Red Sea and went beyond that, the dominion of Pharaoh ended that from that day. Recognize Galatians chapter 1, chapter 4, that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear son. I no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness. I belong to the kingdom of light. The dominion of sickness has ended in my life.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
My Lord and my God. Recognize the value. If you underestimate the value of your redemption, then you take anything that comes. You take anything that comes. Number two, refuse to fear. Refuse to fear. Fear opens up to the enemy. Isaiah chapter 8, thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11, refuse to fear, my Lord. He says, for the Lord thus spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of the people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that these people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Don't fear what the world fear. Refuse to fear. Refuse to fear. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that may you be exempted, from all the plagues that may be going around.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Which leads me to my last point, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Maintain your love for God and stay in love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Believe the love of God and stay in that place of love. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. But fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Stay in that place of love. Lord, I love you. Lord, you are the one I said. Lord, you are the one I want to please. Thank you that you love me. Notice, this is so important. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. when you are abiding in God, when you are abiding in love, sickness has no place in that area. Because there is no sickness in God. In the name of Jesus. And God in him. And that same love will take care of the fear. So refuse to step out of that place of love. You love God. You believe in the fact that you love him. And you refuse to let anything offend you and let you step out of that area of love as well. Stay in that place of love. Now you are dwelling in God. You are dwelling in God and God in you. That's not the address for sickness. No. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then continue to praise him. Give him glory. He loves you. He wants you to be healed not only in your body, it's so important, but in every area of your life. Jesus, when he speaks in terms of wholeness. Wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. He wants you to be very well and be able to fulfill his plan for your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of us receive that this morning?
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we can continue. Let's close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise him for his word. Praise him for his word. Oh, praise him for his word. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise him for his word. 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 Thank you, Lord. By his stripes, you are healed. Jesus Christ wants to make you whole in every area of your life. The troubled places in your life, he wants to step in and make you whole. He wants to step in and transform it. Oh, in your emotions, in your body, in your finances, oh, in every area of your life, will you be made whole? That is the question that Jesus Christ is asking you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And this morning, if you are listening or watching online, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today is the perfect day to start. The Bible says that Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. They'll become his child and partake of everything else that is on the table for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If you are willing to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. Oh, you don't know him, but you say, I want to know him. I want to know this peace that you are talking about. I want to know this healing that you are talking about. Raise up your hands. If you are watching online, just say this prayer with us as well. Lord Jesus, thank you. You came to die for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. Today, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And thank you, I'm saved in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And I place your hand on any area of your body or your life where you need a touch from God. And let's pray for God to touch you and to make you whole this morning. Any area of your life where you need him to touch you. Oh, put your hands right there and say these words after me from the bottom of your heart. Lord, thank you. You pay the price for my healing. Thank you. By your stripes, I am healed. I were healed. I receive your healing in my body. Destroy this sickness in my body. Now, in Jesus' name, sickness, you have a name. And the name of Jesus is above everything that may be named. And so sickness, my body, in the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is not meant for sickness. My body is God's property. Get out of God's temple. Get out of my body. Now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Give me praise and glory this morning. Give me praise and glory. Give me praise and glory. that you are faithful. Nothing is impossible with your God. Let me from you. Those are the things that rob us of God's best. But press on and receive God's very best. Nothing is impossible with God. Lift up your voice and talk to me. Oh, that which you are faced with, lift up your voice and talk to me. Lift up your voice and talk to him. Nothing is impossible with God. That circumstance will turn around for a testimony. It will turn around for a testimony. It will turn around for a testimony. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, may God preserve you whole, spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus Christ. Every area of your life that is not whole, this morning I speak whole. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be made whole from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. In Jesus' mighty name. May God give you peace. May He give you His shalom. May He fill your mouth with a testimony this week. This week is declared a blessed week. The rest of this month is declared a blessed month. The rest of this year is declared a blessed year. As you maintain your love and commitment for God, may everything work together for your good. May everything work together for your good. He caused His face to shine on you and give you His peace and surround you with His favor. May you be a burning and a shining light this week. A testimony and an ambassador for God. Testifying of His goodness in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen this morning.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Google+. Be our guest this weekend at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 10 a.m. May the blessings of the Lord be with you.